That worked. I'm currently recording.
Flawless.
I'm concerned that that worked on the first time. Is that...
I know.
Should we just start over?
Maybe. It's like a bad omen.
Welcome to the Dematis Sabonis era, guys. This is how it works now.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth. I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
The train is off the track.
I feel like you can't just like jump through Neptune and be okay.
Just prepare to.
What the show needs is more dogs and bears and chickens and stuff.
Yeah, so just prepare to be a watch and unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Unbeatables, your Pacers audio hour and member of Almighty Baller Radio. Today is July 2nd, 2017. Coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana, I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. The show, of course, we're talking the PG trade and other player movement in the NBA. We got a lot to discuss, and of course, we'll get my stat of the week. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacers fans? Shout out to America.
America!
Everybody have a hot dog and apple pie and a slow ride. That's what the signs on the interstate told me as I was driving back and forth from a camping trip this week. Every one of them said that. It's crazy. I think the hot dog council is really up to something.
Yeah. Big moves this year.
And the slow ride council.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful slow lobby.
Slow ride.
Powerful lobby.
Take it easy. From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's our in-house bartender mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? Two shout-outs this week. One to my mother. She was born on the 4th of July, and it will be her birthday here shortly. Wonderful woman, and can't... I could not be here without her, but I still can't do it without her. She's amazing. So, and then also to hugs. I think Pacer Nation could use hugs right now.
From Eugene, Oregon, out west, he's our enforcer, John Harper.
I want to shout out to punches.
That's what the enforcer does.
Happy birthday to Greg Clark. We're recording on Sunday the 2nd. Mm, it is the beekeeper's birthday.
Happy
buzz,
birthday,
buzz,
Greg.
Fool sucker.
Shout right. out.
Shout out.
Happy birthday to both of them. Happy birthday to Lady Liberty, too. You'll get through this. We'll be okay.
Going to be a slow ride. Next couple
so,
years.
Big news. You probably have heard about this by now. Paul George has been traded, but predicted by basically nobody, to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Pacers are getting back Victor Oladipo and DeMontis. No?
Yeah.
That was right.
Mm-hmm. You get it.
Sabonis. So, I'm just going to get out in front of this and say, like, A, two things about this trade. A, I am happy that it's over. There's the uncertainty with the Paul George trade is done. So, we can put that behind us. And everybody out there that I've read seems to think the Pacers got fleeced, and I just don't feel that bad about this. So, what are your guys' thoughts on this? Jason, do you think the Pacers got fleeced in this deal?
I do, yeah. I guess if your perspective was, as long as we get more than a bag of chips for Paul George. As long as we get more than nothing, then that's great. But I don't understand it. We're not saving any money. We're not getting under the cap. We're getting younger, certainly. We're getting a nice young asset in Domantas Sabonis. But the thing that really puzzled me is no draft picks. We couldn't get a... It seems like the plan is to get bad and get young and get a lot of assets. And I would have thought at least a second-round pick, preferably a first-round pick, especially given the way Pritchard was demanding three draft picks and two starters from other teams. I can't wrap my head around this. Like, was this a Larry Bird trade? Did he execute this in the middle of the night?
No. According to Jeff Goodman from ESPN, the Celtics' offer on draft night for Paul George was three first-round picks, not including Brooklyn or the Lakers' king pick, and two starters, including Crowder.
Right, so...
So according to reporting, that's what we passed for Oladipo and Sabonis.
Right, but okay, all of those picks are going to be in the 20s. Those three picks would have been in the 20s. Sure. Crowder...
three more picks than the zero we got.
Sure. Jay Crowder is a nice piece on a good contract. And your other starter may be, you know, whatever, Avery Bradley on a one-year rental. I mean, I think...
So that helps you with your salary cap, and Jay Crowder is better than Oladipo right now.
Well, no. I disagree with that. I think Oladipo is better player than Jay Crowder. He's an easier sell to the fans, right? We now have the IU guy.
I got it.
Who's going to be here for 4 years? We don't have to worry about him leaving. He's on a contract for 4 years, and he's an.
And
IU
I'm not
guy.
Saying that. I'm not necessarily saying this is a terrible pick, but if you really are trying to get young, then that is the trade that makes the most sense. That's three first rounders. That's a good contract and an expiring contract.
Sabonis is better probably than one of the guys we could get at the 25th pick next year, right? So, I mean, there's been arguments that we could have done way better, and I think we could have at the trade deadline. But I think Boston was playing hardball, and they're saying we're not giving up the Boston pick or the Brooklyn pick, we're not giving up the Lakers pick, and we're not giving you Jaylen Brown. And we were just like, well, these are the things we need to move on. And
so we're going to do something completely different.
We're going to do something completely
from
different.
From what we've been demanding from you.
But I don't think that it's that much worse than what they were offering.
Well, it's just so much fundamentally different. Like, doesn't that give you pause, right? I mean, we're saying this is what we need. This is the direction that we're going. Oh, wait. Changed my mind. Now I'm over here, right? I mean, that's what confused me. I mean, don't you at least go back? I mean, was there another call to the Celtics? Like... You know?
Oh, no, okay, there was definitely... No, I think there was definitely a last-second call to the Celtics. Like, hey, we're getting ready to trade him to the Thunder. All you got to do is throw in one of these picks for Jaylen Brown. And they were like, nope, see ya. Like, I think they played hardball. I think they don't care.
But they had already offered more than OKC. Why would they add more?
Well, no, but what I'm saying is it that much more, is my argument. I'm not saying that the three low picks, non-premium, non-lottery picks, and Jaylen Brown... Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley is that much better necessarily.
Okay, solid trade for us.
I don't think it's a solid trade. I did not say that. No, but I really thought we were getting a lottery pick and a young prospect. We got a young prospect and a guy who's a volume scorer. He is young and he's a hometown hero.
He's like 25.
24, 25. But he's going to be around for 4 years, so there's your new... he's the new face of the franchise. I'm not saying this is great, but I'm saying it's understandable.
Cut to Miles Turner's going, what did I do?
I'm just saying I understand it. People are saying this is a terrible trade. I'm saying I don't think there was that much out there. I think the Celtics and the Lakers both went, oh, yeah, we offered great stuff. But if they'd offered great stuff, I think we would have taken it.
But Jimmy Butler got... two starters, arguably, and a first-round draft pick. Like, not a week and a half before this.
Yeah.
He does have more value with another year on his contract.
I think one thing different with Jimmy Butler is that Paul George has stated he's going to L.A.
Right, it's a one-year rental. This is what we were always afraid of.
So, but for the Thunder, they gave up Oladipo and Sabonis, and they're getting nothing after this next season. All of that, all those assets are just gone, and they got one fun season, and they got knocked out in the second round of the playoffs. So, congratulations, OKC. You have nothing to show for it.
Well, but they're gambling. I mean, they need a way to sign Westbrook, right? So they have to throw up the Hail Mary, or they're going to lose, not Paul George, they're going to lose Russell. So for them, the trade makes sense. I mean, you could argue that maybe they, you know, should have considered putting more behind it if that's what they – they're right now where we were last year at this time, trying to make decisions about what to do with Paul George, right? And they're rightfully scared about what that looks like for them.
They did get out of a really large contract in the process. You're right, Jason. We didn't save any money. Oladipo makes $21 million a year or something like that, and more than Paul George did in his last year of his contract. And he's signed for the next 4 years. Sabonis makes $2.5 million. So we actually lost money on this deal. You talked about last week. One of the reasons we might have cut Chef Boyardee is for money-saving things. this sort of makes up the difference, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, to me, that was more of a just to give you flexibility to do whatever you need to do, right? So, I mean, if you're going to spin this as a silver lining thing, I think the way to do it is somewhat the way that you said, Coulson, that it's a thing that you can sell to the fans. It's a paradigm shift in the way that you're organizing your locker room, right? So you could argue that it's, well, it's not addition by subtraction because PG is amazing, but like just getting the negativity out of the locker room and bringing in a guy in Oladipo who, by all accounts, is a really good kid, works really hard on the defensive end, has improved consistently each of his 4 years in the league. His numbers have gone up in every category, especially things like shooting percentage and stuff like that. I mean, you expect this kind of growth from a young player, but at least it's there, right? He's a guy that you can put the ball in his hands and he can make things happen, and at the end of ball games. He didn't do that a lot in OKC, but in Orlando he had a lot of experience doing that, right? And the other thing is you pair Turner with another big guy. I guess this is our plan in Sabonis. So are we just gonna? Our plan is to zag when the whole league is zigging and going small ball. We're gonna go ginormous. Like, could we roll out a lineup of Lance, Oladipo, Thad Young, Sabonis, and Turner? And well, see what happens.
Here's my theory on this. I think that we're moving forward with Miles Turner as our franchise player. And the goal is to find who fits with him best. And so we're just going to throw a bunch of stuff at the wall. So we drafted two big guys. We picked up Sabonis. And we just say, do any of these styles or personalities or whatever work together that we can – build them as the front court of the future. So I think giving Miles Turner an opportunity to play with lots of different guys and lots of different styles and figuring out what works for us is basically our only plan or our first priority as an organization right now. So that's why I think we went ahead and picked up Sabonis. We drafted two big guys in Leaf and Ike and Nikogobu and see what works.
And I like the idea of trying to build a locker room around Miles Turner and, trying to find a style of play that's going to fit. And we can be confident that he's happy enough with that we don't have to face the same dilemma, 3 years down the road of him jumping ship to go to another city. However, the idea that we're just throwing a bunch of stuff against the wall, that's not very heartening. Like, it still doesn't really feel like we have a plan here.
It seems like we're kicking the can down the road in terms of plan making.
We're
planning to plan right now is what it sounds like we're doing. It's like, okay, so let's get a young asset in Sabonis and a dude who by all rights was a lottery pick, right, in Oladipo, and saying, okay, we're gonna be not good next year. Let's get our lottery pick for 2018 In that time, we'll figure out if Oladipo and Turner mesh well, or if some of these other pieces mesh well, and then build from there, basically. Right. Take that information and use that on your lottery pick or dealing that lottery pick for something else next year.
Yeah.
Which is... I mean, I guess we kind of saw this coming. I saw that, you know, I was lobbying for this, you know, the last 2 weeks or whatever. So, but now that the reality is here, it's kind of painful, especially since we didn't get more assets. Like, I really think that in order for this plan to work, you know, you have to have more chances to get to mine for gold.
I really
wanted
a draft pick. I really wanted a draft pick.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not a team that's going to rebuild through free agency. We're not. We right. need those draft picks desperately.
Yeah. One other thing, I guess, for me about the whole the build up to this trade, there were rumors everywhere. It's crazy. You know, every day there was, you know, five new ones. And I think one thing that may make this trade look bad is that I think most of that stuff was garbage. It was just they were just absolutely false. Either just pure speculation or things planted by, you know, different organizations around the league to give themselves more leverage in a trade, you know. And I mean, I've heard Donnie Walsh in interviews talking about how he's done this in the past, and I can't imagine that it's changed much, if not amplified, these days, you know, with the social media amplifying everything. So I think some of these things that, you know, we thought that may have been all these great trades, they maybe had never been there in the first place. So, you know, I think it's harder to judge these things because they're private conversations, and they leak things when they want to. So I think it's harder to tell what actually was out there.
That was my point, Joey. I think everybody's sitting around going, well, there was way better stuff on the table. Why did he take this? I'm just not sure that there was that much better stuff on the table. I don't think Pritchard was just like, screw it, let's take a bad trade, you know? You know, we can speculate whether the Boston trade's a better trade or not, but, you know, L.A. wasn't going to give us anything. What we do know is that we had Kevin Love if we wanted to take him, but that was it. It would have been straight up. That was always on the table. Is that a better situation than we're in now? You know?
I say no. I still think that this rebuilding is a better
plan. At least
plan
we're younger.
Yeah. And Oladipo... has a chance to be a 25-5 guy next year, you know?
What's Oladipo's ceiling?
I think a 25-5 guy, sort of fringe all-star in the East.
Okay.
I mean, that's not a bad...
East? Yeah, I was going to say, if you can't make the all-star team in this East, you're just...
No, but I mean, I think he could be a piece on a good team, and... You know, he's locked up for a long time. I don't think he's a franchise player.
Like a piece or a second banana or a first banana?
No, I'm thinking like a third or fourth banana.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think Miles Turner is a second or third piece on a really good team. Like, I think we're still missing that first piece.
Well, of course, yeah. We just traded him.
Yeah, we just traded him.
Right. Nope.
So let's look at the flip side of this. For OKC, do you guys feel like this makes them, you know, Joe, you said they're going to lose in the second round, which would be an improvement over what they did last year. Does this bump them up into the class of, you know, the Warriors and the Spurs and now the Rockets, right, which a trade we'll talk about in the second half? You know, they have two of the top 10. Well, I mean, if you believe the PG is a. They have two of the top 15 guys in the league, arguably. That's usually a recipe for 50, high 50 wins, you know.
They're staying relevant in the arms race, but they're not better than OKC. They're not better than Golden State.
Well, yeah, no, okay, so I guess remove Golden State from the
arms. Yeah, they're staying relevant in the arms race, though. Yeah, I mean, I think Paul George and Russell Westbrook could be very good, but Paul George is essentially like a slightly worse Kevin Durant, you know, like, I don't know, that team didn't win a championship, so is this team going to win a championship? No.
But, you know, you got to give Presti his credit, right? I mean, basically he turned an expiring Serge Ibaka contract into an expiring Paul George contract.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that's kind of the best case scenario for
And in the meantime, bought a lot of good faith with his super duper star in Russ Westbrook, right?
And it's a 1 year flyer, but like you also, you know, can you bring in you know, another piece, or can you do some of the trade deadline to make yourself really dangerous? Maybe. I mean, they've put themselves in position. You know, you've got to have two really good pieces to even be in the conversation anymore. And they put themselves in that conversation. So.
Well, and it's professional sports, right? Everybody is a hamstring tear away. It, you know, is that, you know, as morbid as this sounds, but like from being in title contention, right? So, and it's not as if Kevin Durant does not have a history of injuries, right? Or Steph Curry, for that matter. So,
well, Westbrook's had his issues in the past as well.
True. So has PG, right? So
I don't remember that.
Well, so how does everybody feel? It's finally over. Everybody relieved. I know that we didn't get back what we wanted to get back. Like I was ready for a boatload of picks and, you know, some young Boston players and all this stuff. And, you know, I'm glad we didn't take the crappy Jordan Clarkson straight up for PG from LA, but this felt like less than I was envisioning. Is everybody just happy it's over, or are we just really devastated that they, you know, it didn't end up what we, the best case scenario?
I mean, I'm very happy that it's over. I mean, I way over Paul George, and I don't want him on my team. Like, it's nice to have people on the team now that I can be excited about. You know, I think Sabonis has upside. I think Oladipo's numbers will improve because he's not playing against Westbrook, but I don't know how much upside he really has in the big picture, and it's a lot of money for the guy. So, at the end of the day, my take is that clearly Pritchard and Buchanan and Bird and Walsh and all the other 200 cooks that were in that kitchen must have seen something and Sabonis that they just really, really, really like. That's the only explanation for me, so I just have to trust the process.
I have a question to sort of clarify how I feel about this. Where are we? You're the cap guru, Colson. Where are we cap-wise now? Are we making another move? I mean, we know that Jeff Teague has signed with Minnesota, which I guess we'll talk about a little bit more in detail later, but that frees up a lot of cap space. Are we going to make another move? Are we going to sign somebody? Are we going to trade?
Like, well, so if we renounce CJ Miles, which we haven't still, and he hasn't been signed anywhere else, we have around $30 million to play with, which is, you know, a lot of money.
Substantial.
That's more than I've ever had to play with in my life.
But the thing is, nobody wants to come to the rebuilding Pacers, right? So not a star doesn't want to. You're not
so
going to be able
not
to
getting Hayward is what you're telling.
Exactly.
Well, but I'm not getting at that. Like, I don't think we're trying to be competitive next year. My thinking is that we're trying to build a team that has a positive culture but wins 25 to 35 games next year. I think that's our goal.
I'm disagreeing with that. I think the
thing to do now is to keep building that culture. So bring in guys, veteran. The thing that I worry about is our team is all super duper young, right?
Right. Without a doubt. We are. So,
and Monte Ellis.
So oh, you got Monte Ellis. Monte Ellis, Thad and Young, and Al Jefferson are the only people over 30 years old. Everybody else is under the age of 25. I think Lance is 25, 26.
Well, then maybe that's enough of a veteran presence then. That's fine by me, I guess.
Well, no. So my issue is I think that they don't want to tank. That the Pacers organization doesn't want to tank. You're right. They want to keep a culture of winning, and they want to figure out – their goal is to figure out what works, whether that's Oladipo, who are the guys that work around, you know, Miles Turner – can Lance run the point? You know, is he whatever? I think they're going to try to figure that stuff out, but still try to win 30 to 40 games. I think they could do that.
With that plan, though, how do we ever get better?
I said 25 to 35, and you said 30 to 40. I think their goal is to be in the lottery next year.
That would be that's my goal, but I think they would they would be happier if they were closer in contention to the playoffs.
So they want to be a 36 win team that gets the eighth seed in the Eastern Conference.
I think that would make them more I think that's their goal. I really do think that's their goal. And so I think they're going to
worst possible.
I know, but I think they're going to bring in two pieces that are going to make us a little bit better.
From where?
There is some rumor right now that we're trying to sign Corey Joseph. Like, that would be a guy that would make us a little bit better. He's probably worth a few wins, right? He's a really solid,
but he has
backup
minimal
point guard
upside,
league.
Right? I mean, that's no. Solution.
That's what I'm saying. It's not long term. That's what I'm saying. I think they're going to pick up two stopgap pieces to try to make us a 36 win team instead of a 25.
Right. But what we're trying to get at though is big picture. How are we ever going to get better? Where are these players going to come from that are going to take us from a 36?
I'm not disagreeing. I'm telling you what my theory is of where their heads are at.
Given that information, then I am depressed about said trade.
No,
in this current state
of our franchise.
I think
they said to themselves,
it's a bad plan.
There's a bunch of young guys around Miles Turner. One of these three guys will work out. Oladipo can be our shooting guard for the next 4 years. We'll figure out if Lance is useful. And, yeah, let's just try to win a lot of games. And then we can make moves later. You're right. You said, Jason, that they're kicking the can down the road a little bit. I think they're still doing that.
I don't think that the only way to get better is to tank. You know, I think there's other teams.
It'd
out
be
there.
Really nice to have a lottery pick, though, Joey.
No, I understand that, but you can get those other ways. You know, with trade assets down the line.
Right, we don't have
with
those.
What exactly
we're going to need to draft those.
And I understand.
We
that.
Trade
we
away Paul
now.
George, who was our only chance to get a lottery pick in a trade, and we couldn't do it.
Well, you know, we didn't get Paul George, you know, from tanking. You know, we got him through.
We were a little
picking
bit tanky.
Well in the draft.
We sucked. We weren't.
We were
tanking,
a little bit tanky that year.
Yeah, but there's a difference.
We were winning 30 to 35 games every year.
I'll tell you what, though. I am excited to have Miles Turner as the leader of this team. He's just super-duper positive. He's excited to have this role.
He's very excited.
And it's going to be fun. You know, I think after all these last couple of years of having PG in that role where it was just – I mean, I didn't like the way he led the team. This is going to be different. It's going to be fun. And, you know, I think he's taking this very seriously. You know, he's not, you know, got his eye on going somewhere else. I think it's going to be great. And, you know, Victor Oladipo, we've seen this guy play in college and in the pros. He's a super hard worker. You know, leaves it all out on the floor. It's going to be fun. I think that, you know, Indiana fans are going to respond well to that. You know, I've said for a long time, I think the Pacer fans and Indiana basketball fans, we'll accept a loss better when the team is out there giving it their all, and you can see that. So you go out there, you try, and you lose, and you know you don't win all the games, and we get that. But some of these teams we put out there the last couple of years where it just doesn't look like they're trying, the fans can't get behind those guys. And I think we're trying to build towards an Indiana basketball
team that works hard.
I think that's absolutely right. I've personally been calling for Nate's head for a while now. And maybe there's an argument to be had that he's a better developmental coach than I have given him credit for. I was talking to Nico the other night, and you know he reminded me, you know, what a great job he had done with the Trailblazers organization and bringing those guys along. Brandon Roy was turning into a real star before his body gave out. So creating some continuity, even though I'm not super high on Buchanan and I'm not super high on McMillan, just that we have a core that understands what they're trying to do and can be on the same page is something that's important to our organization and has been lacking for the past 3 years, right? So if we have to start from the very foundation here and just get in, you know, good guys, bring in a guy from IU and Oladipo who fans can get behind, if that's where we have to start this, I'm fine with that. I am concerned that we don't have much in the way of a long-term plan, but I'm hoping that they can formulate that once they see what we have on the floor.
And then maybe the NBA gods will, you know, the karma gods will be nice to us.
If we're trying to win
and we're trying to do the right thing and we finish in ninth spot, maybe the lottery balls bounce the right way. And,
I mean, that's happened to us in the past.
I mean, you know? We don't need to get the number one pick, but I would love to be in the top five or six. I mean, I'm excited because I agree with you. I think that watching this team is going to be more entertaining next year than it was this past year.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the end, I like winning basketball games or watching my team win basketball games. So if they win 30 to 40 and they're fighting for the playoffs, I'm sure at that point I'll be like, yeah, let's get in the playoffs. But as it stands now, as a dispassionate, you know, person removed from the season and thinking about things in the long term, I think that the plan should be to blow it up, because look at what the Sixers have now. Right?
Yeah, well, look at what Minnesota has right now. But they have been out of the playoffs for 13 years, you know? It's like...
True.
It's rough. True. I'm not sure this fan base can handle that. I don't want to be 4 years from now being so bad that we're talking about the team being shipped to Seattle.
We're moving to Seattle. Yeah.
I just don't want to do that. And you know, I don't know. I'm ready for the Lance era. I'm ready for him to average 27-7 and just run the league. That's how it's going to happen. This is Lance's team. This is Lance's team.
Oh, boy.
So we're getting 20 a game from Lance. We're getting 20 a game from Oladipo.
We're getting 20 a game from Miles Turner.
A game from Miles Turner.
Yeah.
TJ Leaf is thrown in 10.
GR3 has to be an all-star for this.
GR3 is my boy. Like, I think he's going to get...
GR3, that's right.
He's going to get 48 minutes a game at small forward because we don't have no other small forwards.
He's scoring a point a minute, so you can chalk him up for 48.
Yeah.
So he's averaging at least 25, 5, and 5. we're money. This team is money. Don't you worry.
I think that they will be more fun to watch. Oladipo's game is fun, right? He's a slasher, gets into the lane, he's athletic, he plays hard. You know, I think that this will be a fun team to watch. So
I think we're good defensively too. Like I think these guys are all scrappers defensively. You know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I think we're gonna you know, we're gonna pull out some wins we probably shouldn't.
Maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah, we shouldn't do that.
But if we pick up Corey Joseph and, you know, a power forward or something like that, or a small forward that's half decent, like, it's just mark my words. Remember, I said this. We're going for 40 wins.
We're going for 40. And how many will we actually win with that crew? Do you have a prediction for that?
36.
We're not even gunning for 500. We're gunning for 40 wins.
Wait, did you just throw out two predictions, like your prediction and then what we're actually going to get?
Yeah. Yeah, I got all the things. I'm ready.
Okay.
Okay. It's super meta.
Yeah.
You guys, I think it's time for my stat of the week.
Joey's stat of the week!
It's still, we'll talk about this Paul George trade. A lot of us out there play the NBA 2K games on your Xboxes and your PlayStations. And if you go and try to make the same trade the Pacers and the Thunder just executed, if you try to make that trade in the game against the AI, it will just say no. It won't even counteroffer that it thinks it's so bad.
It just says
just
no.
Say, nope, that's not happening.
No, the quote, like, you know, from the script in the game, but from the Pacers, it says, "You're asking me to give away a valuable asset, Paul George, when none of the assets I get back seem nearly as valuable. That's not happening."
Strong.
Fantastic.
Strong. I think we need better programmers.
Oh, no, it sounds like the programmers know basketball pretty well, honestly.
It's a very subtle trade that they did not grasp.
They've just clearly undervalued Sabonis.
This is... I think we just passed the event horizon. I think the machines are smarter than us.
They might be.
If your GM is a PlayStation, then, you know, I don't want to live in that world.
Well, this is actually not our worst plan. Can we just do this?
Doesn't Bill Simmons always have this joke about, like, NFL coaches in the last 2 minutes? It's like they should just have a kid that plays Madden all the time and just be there and be like, this is how you manage the clock in the last 2 minutes.
Like, because it's true. They've seen it thousands more times than any coach would.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But I like the idea of Pritchard just, like, plugging things into the PlayStation before making a trade. And like, oh, man, I'm going to get beat up for that one.
So, I guess that trade, It was just one of the trades that's happened in the last couple weeks. A ton of stuff has gone on. I think the biggest one, besides the Paul George one, Chris Paul goes to Houston.
Yeah, he got like seven players.
Houston traded like seven guys for him.
Yeah. Chris Paul opted into his contract.
Yeah, he could have
signed. That he could be traded.
Right. They traded basically everybody except Harden for that one.
Right. He pulled an anti-Paul George.
Yes, yes, yes.
He said, I could walk away, but instead
I'm going to help my current team.
Right, right. So the Clippers get back Sam Decker, Patrick Beverley, and a bunch of guys you've never heard of.
DeAndre Liggins, I know him.
So, you know, they got bodies. And I think
there was a draft pick.
There's a draft pick as well, yeah.
Montrezl Harrell, Darren Hilliard, and Kyle Wiltshire were the other ones.
Yeah, those guys.
Okay.
But the thing is, like, you know, there's a lot of bodies here, and Decker and Beverly are real assets. And, you know, I think the Clippers can still stay relevant. They went ahead and signed Blake Griffin to a max deal, right? 5 years, $175 million, something like that, to have him be the point forward of the future. And the Clippers are not tanking, so good for them.
We'll see how long Blake Griff's body holds up, and then we'll make
or his temper
about whether they're tanking.
Does anybody like this for the Rockets though? Like, do we feel like Chris Paul and James Harden are a good backcourt? I mean, they're two of the best point guards in the league, but now they're both on the same team.
So at first, I didn't like it because I think they both need to have the ball in their hands. I think that. The thing that I really didn't like about it, which I haven't really read much about, though, is that D'Antoni likes to play really up-tempo and get things going, and Chris Paul is a very possession-oriented type of point guard. And I didn't see that meshing well. What I think is actually this is a brilliant move by the Rockets. I think that you can, when you're playing up-tempo, you put the ball into James Harden's hands in the open court and let him do things. When you're playing in the half court, you put the ball in Chris Paul's hands and let him do things. The other thing is that he fills this huge gap that Houston had. Houston last year they shoot layups and they take three-pointers. That was their whole offense. And in the playoffs, San Antonio forced them to take mid-range jump shots and they couldn't do it. And now they have arguably the best mid-range jump shooter in the game in Chris Paul. So if they're going to give away that shot, now they have a guy that can knock it down, right? The other thing I like is apparently the Rockets have signed P.J. Tucker, so they're starting to fill in the gaps with all these people that they traded away in really smart ways. And they didn't have to give up key pieces like Capella or Ryan Anderson or Eric Gordon to make this happen, right? So they have all the horses basically that they had last year, and you're throwing Chris Paul into the mix.
I think this is a great... They're going to win a bunch of games next year during the regular season. What concerns me here is that James Harden and that Rockets team just straight up gave up in the playoffs last year. Right?
Right.
They need somebody who can come in there and make them more competitive. Chris Paul also has sort of a checkered playoff history himself. So that'll be what's really interesting to me is how that team can perform in the playoffs, because I thought the Rockets just embarrassed themselves last year walking away from that last game the way that they did. I don't know if Chris Paul can fix that.
Well, this is Colson, you must – I mean, this is like this is like traveling to Krypton for you, right?
No, this is like, great. No, this
you
is fantastic.
You hate the Boston Rockets and you hate Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And now they're all united.
Yeah, no, and, now I could just like package them up and
now
just.
Now all your hate is concentrated in
exactly.
one city.
That makes it so much easier. You've only
got
to do it once to save your voice.
I don't have to spread out my anger. No, this is perfect for me. screw these guys. They're going to suck. I bet they win 30 games.
Another big trade that happened, Ricky Rubio moving from Minnesota to Utah for their first-round draft pick. Rubio's he's been in Minnesota, I think, his entire career. Always was the upcoming point guard for them, but they're finally done. This is an interesting move for Utah. You know, George Hill was out there and thought he had a good year. He had definitely some injury problems, but probably means that he's not coming back there. What do you guys think about this trade?
Oh, yeah, George Hill, he gone.
You want him?
Yeah, anybody? Can I sell anybody else on George Hill? Anybody want George Hill back?
We can have him.
For how much? What's the price?
I'm guessing $19 million.
The Knicks seem to be involved, so it's probably going to be a high price tag. But hey, thanks. We've got like $30 million and nobody to spend it on. I mean, I don't mind signing the deal to a one guy to a one.
I'm all about let's just hit the salary floor this year and carry it over to next year.
Fair enough. Fair enough. If you're Utah, you get a player who is up and down, is active on defense, and he averages a couple steals a game, and cannot hit the broadside out of a barn from the floor. But he can up the pace there. He gives that offense some place to start from.
He's an elite passer.
He's an elite facilitator. So he's going to make that offense better immediately, especially if they're losing Hayward. So that is interesting. They didn't have to give up very much. Minnesota, meanwhile, had already traded Chris Dunn, who was at the time their point guard of the future. But this move paved the way for them to sign Jeff Teague away from us.
Wait. Jeff Teague's no longer a Pacer?
He is walking away from this sinking ship. And
smart man.
And he goes up to play with Minnesota, who had already acquired Jimmy Butler. And that team looks like they're going to be dangerous. They also just inked Taj Gibson, or at least agreed to terms with him. So these guys are going to be very dangerous very quick. They're putting back the old Bulls in Tibbs.
So their starting lineup is Jeff Teague, Jimmy Butler, Andre Wiggins,
Andrew
Taj Gibson, and the Big Cat.
Sure. Or Gorgui Dieng, if you want.
That's pretty good. Yep. Is that team a top tier team? Is that competing with San Antonio
I think the Rockets? They're beating the Warriors. Yeah.
Solid team. Like, is that a top four team in the West?
No, it's not.
That's a playoff team.
It's definitely a playoff team. They're finally, you can say that the Minnesota Timberwolves will make the playoffs next year.
You don't like that team more
people
than...
have been saying it for the last five years.
And I know, including me last year.
But you don't like that team more than the Clippers now without CP3?
I like them slightly more than the Clippers,
Do you like them more than OKC with only Westbrook, Steven Adams, and Paul George?
Nope.
Okay.
They have the MVP.
All right.
Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double last year, and they just added a borderline All-NBA dude.
I think that this team can be very, very good, but they're a couple years away, right? They just put this, they just added some pieces.
Got to learn each other.
Tibbs is going to need some time to get them on the same page. I think that the second I'm having deja vu. I feel like in the second half of the season, they're going to really come together and win some games.
You've never said that about the Wolves
before.
I've
never said that. That's not the exact prediction I made last season.
Well, since we started the pod, I think we've said that about the Wolves every year. Second half of the season. Yeah.
But I think it is pretty awesome that they need to make the playoffs this year. You got to start getting playoff chops for Towns.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the future of that franchise, so you got to start getting
future
him in the playoffs.
NBA.
Wiggins too, right?
So, Andrew Wiggins is still 22.
Right, exactly.
I feel like he's been in the league for like a decade. He's 22.
Yeah. So you get those guys some playoff chops this year. Maybe they scare somebody. Maybe they steal a game from Houston or whoever in the first round, and then start to build some confidence. And that Jimmy Butler's, I think, the leader of that team, and Tibbs has a guy that's going to be, bringing in Taj Gibson and...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think
Butler,
this is...
like, the culture there is going to be amazing. Jeff Teague is going to play defense for the entire...
No, he's not.
35 minutes that he's on the floor now.
I think the really good news for Teague is that there's... Jimmy Butler can act as the, mediator between him and Tibbs, so Tibbs won't have to murder him. Jimmy Butler can go in there and translate because he knows Tibbs and make it sound nicer than what Tibbs actually said to him.
I'm just letting you know right now that when we do our predictions for next season, that I'm going to have the Wolves
you're gonna
ridiculously
be
high
on the Wolves.
Yep. This I think this is going to work out great.
I also like some of the veteran guys that they have too. I think Taj Gibson's a great signing. He's a guy that I wanted to sign this offseason.
Yep.
But they've also got, you know, Bielinka, not terrible. Caspi, not a terrible player. I mean, they're fine locker room guys. They're, you know, they can fill in roles.
Can knock down shots.
They can knock down shots. They have shooting. People are still pretty high on Tyus Jones. That kid could still turn into something. In 3 years, if they can keep everybody together happy and progressing properly, this is the kind of team that could, you know, eventually supplant, you know, the Golden State Warriors.
So good on you, soda.
And I'm happy. Me and Colson, we are.
Yeah, we love the soda.
We love us some Timberwolves. So.
Another big move. The Philadelphia 76ers sign J.J. Redick to 1 year, $23 million deal. His tweet is, trust the process, which I think is great.
Funny of him. It's awesome. I like it. Why not? It was a big payday for 1 year. If it doesn't work out, walk away. I like this move. I think Philly's getting serious about winning games, and Redick took a big, you know, a low risk, high paycheck. I like it. I like it for both sides.
That's fun.
Yeah, I agree too. I think it's a good move by Philly. You have all these guys that are playmakers, you know, in Fultz and Ben Simmons, who I think is going to. Hopefully he gets on the floor and those guys are going to have the ball in their hands. And you want to make life easy for them. So the way that you do that is you get guys that can knock down shots around them. So, and J.J. Redick is, you know, one of the best in the league at doing that. That, and he's a really seasoned veteran. I mean, he, like, has a really good head on his shoulders and knows the league and knows how it works and is an honest broker with these dudes and will hopefully teach them how to be pros. You know, it feels
this is
weird.
The Byron Scott move with the Pacers, right?
I think you're right. I don't know if you're right.
I know, Harper. It feels weird saying it about a Duke dude who you think was a dickhead his whole time, but I've listened to a few interviews with Redick, and I kind of like him. I think he's like, fair enough. Yeah.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I don't have a lot of it. I mean, he's just been on teams with other greatness, you know? So it'll be interesting to see how he adjusts to being the elder statesman. And, you know, good luck to him. I'm kind of secretly rooting for Philly. I mean, I'm really interested in how this project turns out. And, man, do they got some horses in the stable. They also signed Amir Johnson, which I thought was a good move. That brings a little toughness up front for them.
And veteran.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed with Amir's play last year. I really thought he was going to be important to them in the playoffs and didn't get it done necessarily. But he's a good fit for that team right now.
Yeah, again, hard worker, going to teach these guys how to do it in practice every day and in games.
Yeah.
Is Philly a playoff team?
Oh, yeah.
In the East?
Yeah, yeah. 1,000%.
I don't know.
I don't know about 1,000, but I mean, odds are better than 50.
I mean, if people stay healthy.
If Embiid plays 50 games.
Yep, they're a playoff team.
They're a playoff team.
So he only has to play 50 games.
Yep, and Simmons has to play 65.
These guys also don't know how to win, though, yet.
But they surround themselves with Amir Johnson and J.J. Redick.
They've won it at other levels. They haven't won in the NBA.
We got this. They're definitely a playoff team.
Are we Sixers fans? What are we doing?
Well, they're taking the Pacers' spot. That's all I know.
I think they've got a very good chance to make the playoffs. I think it'll be really interesting to see how much growth they can put in this year. Sure, Embiid did a great job last year, but he missed a lot of games. Okafor is still kind of an unknown quantity there. There may be turbulence that surrounds that as the year goes on, which could affect that locker room. Ben Simmons is effectively a rookie. There's just a lot going on with them.
Yeah. To me, Simmons is the question mark because I have no idea what he is as an NBA player. So, and he's going to be having a lot to learn. So,
yeah.
But, you know, the way that Šarić developed last year and Embiid was incredible those 30 games that he played or whatever.
Yep.
Those guys, we're pinning a lot on unknowns. So they effectively have two rookies in their starting lineup, Fultz and Simmons.
And most rookies who come into a team go on to a team that's just terrible and they can go in there and they can be ball hogs and they can do what they did in college, right? The real experiment here is can these guys go in and learn how to share the ball quickly and early because they're playing with a bunch of other overall number ones, right? This is going to be a really interesting and I think a tough challenge for for the Sixers organization. But, I mean, the upside is undeniable.
Another move that happened, actually, I think today announced, or two Raptors signings. Kyle Lowry is re-signing 3 years, $100 million. And Serge Ibaka is going to re-sign there, too. So I think their gamble paid off. They should be about the same team, maybe a little bit better. But they've been top half of the bracket for the last several years, and hopefully they can get a little bit better in the playoffs and not get manhandled again. But
I have no reason to think that would happen, but you know, at least they can continue to win in the regular season, and the East needs somebody to win some games.
Right, they'll win 50 games next year and for the next 3 years, and that's fine, but they're not challenging. I mean, here's the deal.
They're going to challenge Cavs.
But why are these
year?
Teams not trying to take down the Cavs? Like, I don't understand.
Because the Cavs are going to have 1 year, and then they're done, so we're just setting ourselves up.
So they're biding
the
their time.
Yep, they're biding their time.
I think that's kind of what's going on, right?
Yep. The arms race is happening out west. We know the Cavs are falling apart after next year, so let's just set ourselves up. That's what I think that's why Boston was more patient than we thought they should be. Like, I'm super pissed at Danny Ainge for not just being like, all right, look, I've got all these great picks, just take one of them. Like, I think that they're just all biding their time.
Have we actually talked about on this show why Cleveland might be exploding?
That LeBron might be going to L.A. with Paul George?
I don't think in that explicit terms. Yeah, we talked about it a little bit.
Okay.
But that's a real rumor, and it, you know, it's got some traction.
It's a real rumor.
It's
not fake news. It's a real rumor.
It's real. It's fake real news? Real fake
it's
news?
Real fake news.
It's real fake
Well, news. Here's what I do know is that he is not happy with the state of the franchise right now, now that his general manager, David Griffin, has been fired or not re-signed. And he has... been on Twitter sort of like praising Griffin and wishing that he was still there. And then he's not actively recruiting free agents right now, which he's done in the past.
I think what's key here is that those rumors existed before Griffin was released. And now we're getting kind of a different look. That was something that kind of flies in the face of LeBron. He was always a backer of Griffin.
Right.
You know, the organization makes a move that they know is not going to make LeBron happy. They do it at a really inopportune moment. They're not doing anything to make their team better. And what's
during
more,
negotiations with the Pacers for Paul George, essentially.
Right. And what's more, LeBron has stepped down as GM also, which I think should be a really worrying sign.
Yeah. No, it's a bad look for the Cavs, for sure.
It was a classy resignation letter, though.
He let him know on Twitter.
Yeah. Cleveland needs to be worried about losing PG for sure.
They should
for LeBron.
Okay,
for sure.
So I've been in the woods for the last couple of days. The biggest free agent name this offseason was Gordon Hayward. Is there any rumors on whether or not he's closer or to signing with Boston or staying in Utah? Or he was also meeting with Miami, I think. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that?
He's still taking dinners. I mean, when it's your first time on the market, man,
he's getting wined and dined.
Oh, baby, you don't turn down any chance to get those meals and those drinks, right?
Okay. Of July, he's got meetings through the 5th of July.
Sure.
So he's not going to make.
But
a
decision.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're a player, this is as good as it gets for him. So God bless Gordon. Go do your thing. Don't tell anybody what you're doing. Keep taking meetings. Have some fun. See some America, and then go pick up your $200 million paycheck.
Eat a really good filet here and there.
Yeah. I'm sorry, $140 million paycheck. Only Steph Curry gets $200 million, the first $200 million man in the NBA.
It's incredible.
Mm-hmm. LeBron said he's worth a lot more.
Yeah.
He said Curry was or that LeBron was?
No,
well, Curry he said was. Curry, and I think by extension, yes, LeBron also.
It's implicit.
Right. Patty Mills is going to stay with the Spurs four more years. Anyway,
David West re-signed with the Warriors. I thought sure he was going to retire.
As did Iggy.
And Sean Livingston.
And Livingston says he's staying, so they're keeping the band
together. Bringing the band back together.
And why would you leave?
And Jrue Holiday got paid by New Orleans. It was a rumor that the Pacers were in the market for him. 5 years, $126 million.
Mm.
It seems going to be interesting next year.
Langston Galloway signed with Detroit and Ingles with the Jazz, if anybody cares about that.
I think maybe to come to the end of the free agent discussion here, the one team that we've not really talked much about that I want to know what you guys think about, the New York Knickerbockers.
Mm.
Is this flaming dumpster fire going to stay on fire and smolder for some more time? Or is there light at the end of this tunnel?
Somebody put gasoline in the water hose.
Did we talk? I can't remember.
So what did they do? So they fired Phil Jackson. Did they hire somebody else?
Acting President James Dolan is the GM.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. This get out your marshmallows. This player's going to be a-blazing for a while.
No, I don't. I do not believe that they had that they have done anything to take his place. Hornacek has been trying to use his media pulpit to talk up KP and say he's awesome and we don't want to lose him. At least in part, getting rid of Phil was an attempt to get KP happy again so they mm-hmm. could keep him. So
sure.
They may take some time in the GM search, who knows, but I mean, the big thing is they can't lose that guy. I mean, they have nothing. That team is awful.
And Melo has been rumored potentially to go to several different places.
He should go to Cleveland for sure.
Yeah, Cleveland should figure out how to get him for sure. Now that they can't get Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
So, real briefly, as of today, your next year's Pacers starting lineup: Lance Stephenson at point guard, Victor Oladipo at the shooting guard, GR3 at small forward, Thaddeus Young at 4, Miles Turner at 5. Your bench would be Monte Ellis, TJ Leaf, Sabonis, and Ike Anadogubo. I don't know. Is Sumner is your backup point or Joe Young?
Paul George is gone. Joe Young is gone. There's no way they're keeping him around.
Al Jefferson's still on the team.
They're a package deal, actually.
Yeah. You got to remember Monte Ellis is going to be suspended for the first 5 games of the season because of failing a drug test. He will also be cut before the end of the year because he did
pass the cool test, though.
You don't think we'll do him a solid and cut him at the beginning of the year? And let him re-sign with another team?
I mean, we have to pay him... Well, I mean, we don't have to pay the difference, I think, of the salary, but we don't have to pay next year no matter what. So, yeah, we might as well cut him. So, yeah, we're super young. So I assume that there's going to be a couple signings because we have zero backup small forward. We don't really have point guards. And we have a ton of 4-5s that are all under the age of 22. So we probably need to make some decisions about what we're going to do. Young and bad is a decision, but there's some holes to fill in this roster, particularly at 3 and 1.
We should toy around with like an all-giant guy lineup. I think we should do a what are we going to do? We'll put Lance,
GR3 at 2, Thaddeus
Thad
at 3.
Young, yeah. Sabonis, and Turner.
Sure.
Why not? We could do whatever we want.
And also, is Victor Oladipo going to start at 1 for us?
No. Yeah, maybe Victor's. Maybe
really?
Maybe you go Oladipo,
Lance.
GR3.
Oh, GR3, I see. Lance is your energy off the bench.
Sabonis and Turner. Yeah, and you bring Lance off the bench.
Now,
or you go Oladipo. Yeah, maybe you put Oladipo at 1 and Lance at 2. I don't know. Neither one of them are point guards.
Lance can
that's
play
1-4.
Sure. To four.
Well, Lance
matter.
Could play 1-4 until he lost a bunch of weight to play point guard, a position which we might have filled.
You can gain it right back. There are some good restaurants, and our state is obese as it is. He can do it.
He can just
I have faith.
Pack it right back on.
Mm-hmm. Just one trip to the state fair. He's good to go.
A couple deep fried butter sticks. Good to go.
It's coming up real soon. We got Snicker bars, elephant ears, deep fried everything. Deep fried Pepsi they had. Lance, if you need help, call me.
Driving back today from Harper's Ferry, and there was a place that sold kettle corn and fresh pork skins.
Like,
I've never had pork skin. I didn't know that that was a thing that you
like
could
like pork rinds.
I don't know. I don't know what a pork rind is. I don't know what a pork skin is.
Pork rind is
drove by as fast as I could.
Pork rinds are pork rinds are like it's like deep fried pig skin. And I've
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it was not deep fried. And I've had those and they're good.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah. It's super weird. And I don't eat it anymore, but they're like if potato chips could be worse for you. That's kind of what they're like.
Sounds like a challenge.
It's a state chair, a state fair challenge. Yeah. Yep.
Oh man, I think it's gonna be an interesting year coming up. I don't feel that bad about this. I know that you guys think that maybe this could have gone better, and the media at large. Yeah, did you guys see that the people were sending messages to the Oklahoma City Police reporting theft of Paul George? Which was amusing.
And also, Jimmy Butler gave out his cell phone to the media, which I thought was hilarious.
My argument against all of that stuff is that, yes, there were a ton of really good offers at the trade deadline, but at that point, we still thought we were going to try to keep Paul George, right? And so, yes, we whiffed. If you go back in history, we whiffed big on a better offer for PG. But at that point, with the information we had, it's hard to blame the organization for the trade that we got versus then. I don't think we've screwed up the trade we had based on the offers we had this offseason.
I still think in order for this trade to make sense 5 years from now, Sabonis is going to have to turn out really, really good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I've got my fingers crossed.
And I think it's quite easy to blame the organization. We're not in the know, and we knew that they should have traded him at the deadline.
Well, no, and we talked about it. They should have traded him at the time. Yes, we knew that. But they went all in on trying to keep him, and so
that was a mistake.
That mistake is different than – I just don't like comparing the trade offers from that moment to now in the sense that that mistake was itself. This – you know, whether we got the appropriate value for making a decision to trade him in this offseason – I feel like we probably did okay, is my only argument. We totally whiffed on getting a bigger package by not doing
the
trade.
But, I mean, if the reporting that's out there is correct and that we passed on 3 first-rounders and 2 starters, I mean, that's – I mean,
I still think Oladipo is better than Jay Crowder.
I mean, they're comparable. We would have got another established starter and 3 first-rounders. That's a lot. So Sabonis has to be
really
good.
Yeah, and they were
really
all crappy starters or crappy draft picks is what I'm saying.
Which is three more chances than we have right now. So at any rate, like I said, Sabonis has to turn into something, right?
And it's all 3 right. more assets, right? So you can – it's not that you have to draft those guys. You can trade those assets.
Right. You can package them for something much, much
better. That's true. All right. All right, so we screwed this up.
No, I'm not saying that we did. I'm saying that it's – like I said, I'm trusting the process. I'm trusting that Sabonis is going to be super-duper good. He does have a ton of upside.
And Oladipo has another step to take, and he's a hometown hero.
I think Oladipo's good. I mean, I think he's better than Crowder. I think they're different. I mean, it's kind of hard to compare, but
sure.
I think that he's going to have a better career than Crowder. I think Crowder is a more useful player right now, if that makes any sense. Like, he does things on the basketball court that need to be done, right?
And also, he makes like $8 million a year.
Well, that's part of that useful amazing. For us right now. Like, do you want a guy who's a decent piece on a good team right now on a low contract? That doesn't really make us better, right?
Isn't
like,
that what
we want a decent piece that's a good guy on a really inflated contract, which is what Oladipo is.
I think it is time to get moving, guys.
No, it's just getting good.
You guys gotta take. you gotta take this outside. It'll be fine, John.
I don't know that it will be. If by fine you mean 20 wins, then yes, it'll be fine.
That's fine for me. As long as the lottery ball falls out.
Okay, I'm all in for 20 wins. Let's do that. Let's lock it in. Oh, sad Coulson's.
You look like you got gut punched.
Somebody kicked his puppy.
Yeah.
All right.
Joey's sad too.
Go play with your rabbit. You'll be fine.
Yeah. That's
yeah.
Fine. Joey, are you sad? You're fine.
I feel fine. I'm
okay.
I'm good, man.
All right.
I'm glad that this Paul George nonsense is behind us.
Sure.
You know, the last 2 years we've been like wondering what the heck was going to go on.
I'm glad it's over too. Does anybody have anything they would like to say to Paul George?
I'd like to thank him for his service, and I wish him well in the future.
You're such a better person than me.
That's on the record. Yeah, right? Off the record.
I'll call you later over some drinks. And
he sent out a nice thank you to the Indiana fans, like on Instagram. I saw it was very nice. I'm thinking, you know, after some time that the fans will probably soften and welcome him back when he comes in. I don't know, but they may not.
I'm already planning my trip San Antonio and OKC next year for UndebeatedCon so we can go boom in his own building.
Mm. I wonder if the Fieldhouse has any stuff on, like, deep discount that we can burn.
You know they do. 4th of July, baby.
That's the spirit.
Light it up. Light it up.
Oh, we need to get out of here.
Pack a t-shirt into a firework and explode it. That'd be great.
It was fun while when it was good, and but we're past that now.
Past the good.
Just remember the good times, Joey.
Yep. I'll do that. I'll do that. Well, I'd like to thank the listeners for being here. It's great to have you with us and celebrate this ride. It's a good time. But if you want to check us on Twitter, we are at Undebeatables. Thanks to all our new followers out there. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. And you can listen to the show as a podcast if you don't already. You can subscribe to it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast. If you're on iTunes, give us a review if you can, and it really helps other people find our show. Coulson, take us out of here.
For a once and always coach, Bobby Sick Leonard, who has shepherded us through all of these ups and downs and continues to turn out the lights. The party's over.
So what's the line? What's the most complicated lineup we could put out there for Slick to deal with?
Sabonis for sure.
We definitely gotta get Sabonis, Oladipo, and Enigbogu on the floor.
Well, check it out. Yeah. Victor Oladipo's full name is Kehinde Babatunde Victor Oladipo.
Nice,
perfect.
Yeah, so yeah. He. It would take him till Wednesday to get through that.
There's like a the Brazilian guy that we have in camp Lima or whatever.
Yeah.
That I'm sure we could throw.
How does he do with big guy? There. How does he do with Georgie Nang? Like, there's a lot of vowels in that name.
There are a lot of vowels.
Dad Young can't see the floor. That's for sure. Jefferson's too easy.
Miles Turner, boy. Benched.
Yeah, yep. Benched. Joe Young, Steven, never.
Lance Stevenson, no.
Did DNP, not funny enough name.
Oh, my goodness. This is awful. This is terrible.
Colson, it's cool. You can just go on the we got Summer League right now. You can go check out I was watching TJ Leaf earlier. I was getting excited.
Yeah, he hustles his butt off right now.
Everything's good.
He's like murdering dudes in Summer League. It's great.
We actually we never even mentioned the Summer League going on like right now. Was it seven games or so?
I think it depends on how many you.
Oh yeah.
And they're amazing, right? Our team is amazing. We've won. We're 1-0.
We're 2-0, baby.
2-0.
Travis Leslie is the new face of the organization.
I've never even heard of that dude.
Well, get used to him.
What is he? What does he play?
Well, welcome to the Travis Leslie era.
Got to get to it before Coulson.
I don't want any of your rant to leak out.
Prematurely rants.
It's happened before, not very often, but occasionally, you know. But usually what I like about the premature rant is that I just get to rant right again after that.
You're not 16 anymore.
Okay, so I wait 20 minutes and then rant again.
All right.